Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what it shows us and what it tells us. Some of those things we don't see clearly without it. Other things we kind of know but don't know how to put them in practice. We pray that as we look at the cross this morning, we would see what it has to say to us, that we'd hear it, that we'd understand it, that we'd believe it, and that we would have the will to apply it fully to our lives. Amen. So in October 2017, the then Surgeon General of the United States declared an epidemic. And it wasn't obesity, it wasn't heart disease, it wasn't cancer, it wasn't even COVID because it didn't happen yet. It was loneliness. According to his research, loneliness causes an insidious type of stress that resulted in inflammation, chronic inflammation, and an increased risk of heart disease, arthritis, and diabetes. Loneliness was actually as dangerous to your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day for the impact on its life. And the headlines are numerous. Young people report more loneliness than the elderly. The biggest risk facing middle-aged men isn't smoking or obesity, it's loneliness. The surprising effects of loneliness on health. How social isolation is killing us. Social isolation kills more people than obesity. Now, this epidemic doesn't just exist in America. Research has suggested that it is belonging and not self-esteem or meaningful work or marriage or kids or personal freedom that is the most fundamental human need outside of food and shelter. We were made for community. Our brains are wired for that sort of social connection, but as our society has trended more and more to individualism, this is something that we've totally missed out on. We've kind of not noticed as we go. It is the self and not community that is our primary source of value and importance. But the result is that even with our increasing health, our increasing social well-being, even with our increasing technology, we are actually lonelier than any other generation in history. And the church hasn't escaped this phenomenon. Even committed Christians who love God, who love His Word and love His people have kind of been wrapped up into this high personal individualism. It's become our default setting. So many of us lack free time and energy that as we think about investing in community, it seems like an unnecessary luxury. Something we don't have the energy and the will to get involved with. And this creates some sort of a separation, a personal preservation, and a personal sense of loneliness that is unique to our age. Even in the church, there are many who have lost or who have never had a sense of belonging, even in this church. Are the alarm bells ringing? Because they do for me when I hear that stuff. Things are not what they should be. So what's the solution? Do we look back in history somewhat nostalgically to a time when community was a higher value of society? And to a time when church was family? Well, you could, but nostalgia won't really help anyone. It'll probably just make you grumpy. And yet at the same time, we don't need to leave this inward wiring for belonging behind, because the cross has something to say about community. And it has something to say that we need to hear, but also that our world needs to hear. Our big idea today is that because of the cross, you belong to Jesus and belong to His people. You are fully known and fully loved. It is the cross and only the cross that makes the community that we are wired for possible. So let's have a look at how. And our first point today is that the cross means that you are fully known and fully loved. The Bible tells us that God knows everything about us, especially as we read something like Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down and are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. This children's book we've got here captures the comfort of this psalm really well. From my head to my toes, from my knees to my nose, God knows all about me. When I'm good, when I'm bad, when I'm happy, when I'm sad, God knows all about me. In the middle of the night, in the early morning light, God knows all about me. You kind of get the idea. As David writes the psalm, he is convinced that God knows all about him, and he's able to rest comforted by that truth. Now, Andy Crouch has developed this really helpful 2x2 table for what it means to belong. As you trend upwards, there is a sense of being known. And as you trend from left to right, there's a sense of being loved. If you are known but not loved, you are rejected, which is the top left. If you are loved but not known, you fit in. But if you are fully known and fully loved, that's when you belong. Now, as you look at this table, you might begin to think and hope that you're not that well known by God. Our instinct is to try and put towards an image towards God that he could love, good behavior that he could approve of. There's some things that we would want to kind of suppress and keep from his sight so that he can, so that we can be somewhere along that trajectory of loved at least. And yet David says very clearly that God knows all about us. The worst things you can think of, the most shameful thoughts in your mind, the most embarrassing motivations, or the most hidden fears are all completely known by God. You cannot trick him into thinking that you are something that you are not or better than you are, because God knows all about you. When it comes to that table, there is no doubt that you are along that top line in some way. The question is, and you can probably flick it back up again. The question is, are you rejected or are you loved? And the cross, it answers this question emphatically. Romans 5 verse 8 says, God demonstrates his love to us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The clinching proof of God's love is that when he knew you fully, he didn't reject you. Even with all the things that should have pushed him far away from you, God came to us in Jesus, as it says in verse 13 of our reading today. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away, which is far away from God, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The cross means that even with your most shameful and most embarrassing stuff, God knew you, he loved you, and he died for you. He died for you that all the things that would separate you from him would be taken away. All of the shame and the embarrassing moments and the sin would be dealt with forever. Those who trust in Jesus belong to God. It is the top right corner of the table. You couldn't hit it any sweeter than that into that corner. And so the offer is open for you this morning to belong, to place your trust in Jesus, because Jesus died so that you could be brought near to God, that you could know, he could know you, and that you would be fully known and at the same time fully loved. It's the best news in the world. And this means that we are no longer without God and without hope in the world, as Ephesians 2:12 kind of suggested from our condition. And the Heidelberg Catechism captures the hope that this passage brings beautifully. In its first question, it says, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is, that I am not my own, but belong in body and soul, in both in life and in death, to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. You are not alone. And because of the cross, you will not be alone for eternity, because Jesus is going to be there. You are fully known and fully loved. You belong to God. Our second point today, then, is that God organizes the lonely in families. This loneliness might be a sharp pang on our age, but it's not like it's something new. God has always known our fears and our hurts and our pain. He's always been aware of the human need for community and connection and belonging. Individualism wasn't his idea at all, but he had something far better planned for his people, something we see in Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 5. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families and leads the prisoners out with singing. It's an incredibly beautiful idea. God sets the lonely in families. Those who are vulnerable, those who are weak, those who need community, God puts in families. The closest social unit is on families, the closest social unit ideally. The redemption he has planned for us is both personal and it's complete. The cross restores our relationship with God and also our relationship with God's people. We are no longer alone. God's plan of the cross wasn't that you would be somehow free to be able to be a Christian nomad living on your own without community around others, because the cross brings all sorts of different people together. In the world of the Bible, there was this massive divide between Jew and Gentile. But the cross changed all that, as we saw in our reading today. Have a look at verse 14. For he himself, which is Jesus, is our peace, who has brought the two groups, Jew and Gentile, one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create... His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in his one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, in which he put to death their hostility. And then jumping down to verse 19, consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Being a Christian nomad doesn't make sense. The consequence of the cross is that you have been united together with fellow believers in Christ. You're no longer strangers to one another. This incredibly diverse group of people that you see as you look around this morning are united together as God's people. You are part of his household, which is his church. The cross unites you with people that you wouldn't be naturally friends with. So as you look around, you're united with all those people that maybe you would naturally connect with and those you don't. Because all of you enter this household in the same way, with the same status. And all of you have Jesus in common. God sets the lonely in families. This one. It gives you a place to belong. And this is what makes it such a tragedy when the church becomes a lonely crowd. A place where people are nice and friendly, but you end up still alone and isolated. So much of Christian community on that chart stops at fitting in. We might be able to talk about superficial things. We might be able to give off an image that we think will be love. But we won't belong to one another because we have not made ourselves known. We fear that if we are truly known, we'll be rejected instead of being loved. if we don't understand the cross, the church becomes a place for performance, but not for belonging. We don't belong to God or to this household because of our performance, but actually we belonged when we were still sinful and broken. One of the clear signs of people who understand the cross is that they're willing to drop this idea of performance and make themselves known. They're willing to talk about their personal struggles and sin and brokenness because they know they are fully known and loved by God anyway. And therefore, they are satisfied in Him and don't need to massage their performance or image before others around them. They're willing to trust those who have believed in God as well will accept them because they themselves are aware that they too were broken. And even if that trust does get broken, the cross also helps us to be able to forgive and to move forward in community. A loneliness epidemic in the church would actually call the effectiveness of the cross into question. Through the cross, God sets the lonely in families to meet our need to belong. Now, do you believe that's true? The love we have received from God makes it possible for us to be fully known and fully loved among God's people. Our cultural instincts and our experience may scream against it, but the cross is a radically countercultural thing. If we are convinced that that is true, this place will be a church that is a community where people can be fully known and fully loved and belong to one another. And therefore, our third point, it calls us to respond to what we believe by loving to belong. And that actually happens to be the tagline for membership at our church. Because the cross, it calls us to membership that is far more than just showing up occasionally or by having a name on a list. It calls us to membership that loves to belong and be part of God's people. And that's why we call our membership course the Belonging Course. Because whether you are new or old, we belong to Jesus because of the cross. We belong here because of Jesus. And that means we are free to be able to belong to one another, making ourselves known and available within this community. And that's not a one-off thing, but an ongoing reality. One of the final analogies Paul uses to describe what the cross does for community is this idea of a building with Jesus as the foundation. This is what he says about it in verse 21. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. In him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. The building is being built together and it's being built up. These are active things that imply that the process is not complete, but is still ongoing. The cross calls you to live out what you believe by moving toward one another. Now, often people in a church will say they don't feel as though they have a sense of community among the church, in part because they've hit pause on that process. Belonging isn't guaranteed. It doesn't happen automatically. It requires us to embrace a life of relationship as community, as opposed to setting up our lives in isolation outside it. Now, I know, as I mentioned before, many people in this church feel stretched out. We lack free time and we lack energy. What I want you to recognize this morning is dropping out of community is not a neutral thing, but it's actually unhealthy. It's costly. I recognize that in our tiredness, the idea of Christian community seems like an unnecessary luxury. steps towards it seem unmanageable, and so we make this independent-minded decision to step back and maybe drop out, perhaps for a time. We might even say that we kind of regret doing that. But let me tell you this morning, both the Bible and social science are telling you that you are not the exception. You need community. Through the cross, God has given you the gift of this one, His church, where you can be fully known and fully loved. In his book, The Meaning of Marriage, Tim Keller makes this following observation, which I think is quite helpful as it also applies to us as a church community. And think of the table in your mind here. He says this: to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and fully loved is, well, it's a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense. It humbles us out of self-righteousness, and it fortifies us for any difficulty that life can throw at us. Now, superficial community is not helping us live out our faith, wrestle with our sin, or fortifying us for life in our world. It's just burning us out. Let me offer a suggestion. Instead of stepping back to take a break from God's people, God's household, step forward into community and make yourself known. And perhaps the easiest place to make yourself known is in with this pressure and stress of busyness that we have. Start talking to one another about it. Not for sympathy, but to actually get other people's wisdom about what life might look like in a different place. When was the last time you opened up to someone about how you were doing spiritually? Why is it that we feel as though we need to go on this Christian life on our own when actually the cross calls us to community? You cannot belong unless you are known. Don't place your faith in your experience or in your cultural understanding. Place it in the cross and what it says about community and what it has achieved. So I want to invite you to create space for others to belong. If you reach out and are the first one to invite, care, or open up, you'll be surprised to find that there are people around you who love to be around you, that are happy to have you as part of their lives and as part of this household. To start with, if you don't know where to start with your connect group. And if you don't have a connect group, ask Matt and Julia to help you find one. If you don't know who else to talk to your care elder. You may not know them yet, but I have been in meetings with them and heard them say multiple times they want to get to know you and help you walk through your life. Let me tell you, it is exceedingly rare for someone to come to us and want to talk about where they're going spiritually. To be fully known and fully loved is a lot like being loved by God. It's what we need more than anything. That is the kind of love that the cross makes possible. As a community, let us live by believing that truth instead of settling for superficial community. Whether you are 10 or whether you are 90, you can take steps forward, inward, to belonging to one another in community. This is the place to belong. Fully known, fully loved. Our world is sick from loneliness because it doesn't have that kind of community. So let us love being in this household for our good and for the picture it shows our culture about what God's love is like. Amen. Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for what the cross shows about community, that you could know us fully, absolutely fully, and love us at the same time. And that's an incredible truth. It's an incredible truth for us individually, but also for us as that merges us, not just as a lonely individual following you, but as a member of your household. Help us to believe that's true enough to give up on just ourselves and instead embrace the community you have gifted us with. Help us to be known and help us to love. Amen. Now I'm going to celebrate that in a really tangible way as we take the Lord's Supper together. We're reminded this morning of how the cross brings us together in community as members of God's household, no longer strangers from one another, but united together in Jesus and through this meal that Jesus gave his church. In this meal, we are going to see and taste and touch visual reminders of what Jesus did for us when his body was broken and his blood was poured out for the forgiveness of our sins.